crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive.
I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive.
North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive.
Get off the set.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! What on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course! Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars! This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium was available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean... That says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower at precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back
to the future. everybody, it's old Shazaz here. I'm out here in my mad science laboratory. Hey, for those of you who's listening in on the different radio networks in different chat rooms, there's some links over here that I put out here for a couple videos that pertain to what it is that I'm talking about on the show today. And there's also a couple of Wikipedia links, one of bismuth and one of magnesium. Two are pretty fascinating metals in their own personal characteristics, but the two combined with a little zinc. On one of these videos here I watched, I was listening to the lady talk about the pieces of samples that they had found out there in Roswell, New Mexico, and these particular metals that were being tested were micro layers of bismuth, zinc, and magnesium. And she was going into all the different places that she went to try to get this stuff tested to find out who made it and how it was made and so on down the line. And it turns out that nobody could say how it was made or why it was made, or you know, even really give a good explanation of what the purpose of it being put together like that is. If you know anything about magnesium, you know that there's a lot of characteristics of magnesium that are pretty impressive, such as you know, you can use it to start fires with. You know, they got little blocks of magnesium that the preppers and campers and hunters and stuff like that use. You scrape off a few little flakes and then hit it with a spark, and once that stuff lights, it's got a super bright flame on there. And so with that said, I put another video in there of somebody who threw a magnesium wheel off of a car into a campfire, and you can see that when that magnesium wheel finally ignites, it's a really bright flame. It's pretty impressive. Of course, it was the first video I grabbed. I've seen better magnesium wheel fires videos out there. You should go out there and Google that up, and or YouTube or whatever, and look and see what a magnesium wheel looks like when it's on fire. See, they made these wheels. They look like aluminum wheels, but they're actually a magnesium alloy. And one of the problems that they had back then was if the car was to catch on fire, these magnesium wheels would ignite, and it was nearly impossible to get this fire out because magnesium burns so hot. So with that said, it's pretty impressive stuff in itself. And then if you take bismuth, which is another metal that is pretty dense, it's heavier than lead, and it has its own characteristics, such as it has the capability of not blocking a magnetic field but redirecting a magnetic field. If you go over to RWG Research over there and check out Russ's video on magnetic levitation, you'll see that he uses a couple pieces of bismuth, and he puts a magnet in between the two pieces of bismuth, and then he has another magnet over the top of the bismuth that is just in the right area that it attracts the magnet that's between the bismuth, but doesn't have the strength to pull it completely up. So you literally have a magnet sitting there hovering in between these two pieces of material. So, you know, with that said, it's pretty impressive to see that. It's a neat looking little toy, but what could you do with that? Well, anyway, in portion of this video, and you got to pay attention because you'll miss it if you don't listen to what she was saying, but there was one individual, she said, that believed that if you hit this with the right amount of high voltage at the right frequency, you could literally get this metal combination to float, to hover, you know, to basically do what you would see if you saw a UFO flying through the sky or something like that, the way they seem to defy the laws of gravity and such. So, you know, I'm thinking about this as I'm listening to her, and I called my buddy up over there. I called Cultus up, and I was telling him about what I heard between this lady and I had paused the video at that point, and I told him what I had heard to that point about this particular material, which was layers of bismuth and magnesium and zinc. And I was telling him, you know, there's so much potential to this particular material. If it could be recreated, there you could just, it's mind-boggling what could be done with this stuff. So anyway, after I got off the phone talking with him, I went ahead and watched the rest of the video. And then they went into a portion where they were showing how they were actually creating hydrogen without any electricity at all. No input of current whatsoever. All they had was this material sitting in the bottom of distilled water. And to speed the process up a hair, they put a little bit of electrolyte down inside the water with it, and it began to produce a lot of bubbles and produce hydrogen. The shocking factor in this whole deal is that while it was producing hydrogen, it wasn't deteriorating the metal, and it the water stayed perfectly clean throughout the entire process. So, you know, with that said, now you have a material that is not only capable of producing hydrogen without any kind of current being produced to it, introduced to it. You also have a material that has the potential of not only being super strong. That's why they used magnesium wheels, because they looked like aluminum, but they were an alloy that was really strong, and they could actually build really fancy racing wheels and put them on cars and not have to worry about them breaking up or whatever. And so, you know, with that said, it's pretty impressive stuff that they had going on there. So now you have a potential super strong material that, hit with the right frequency of high voltage, can literally hover, can literally float. And so as I'm listening to all this different deal, and I'm seeing how this is actually creating hydrogen, and when soaked in water. And the one other point about the soaking it in water, the man kept it in the water for 40 solid days, and the reaction never stopped. It just kept on going, and the material did not deteriorate. So to me, it's pretty doggone impressive. Now, if there's a way that we can duplicate that particular material, the way that they layered it in the microns, you know, really super thin layers and multiple layers, you have the capabilities, the potentials to create fuel rods that you can put down into distilled water with just a touch of an electrolyte, and now you have a self-contained, self-powering hydrogen cell that you could use to run, you know, whatever machine you got, any internal combustion engine. You know, you could even modify the modern day engine into a rotary style engine that works something similar to what a pneumatic engine would do. The air tools that you see at the shops, you know, whenever you're taking your tires on and off your car, you know, with the sockets and all. And so the potential just keeps on going. With the capabilities of bismuth not blocking out a magnetic field, but being able to redirect the magnetic field, now you have a potential guidance system, a navigation system that could follow any magnetic field line in any direction at any speed. That's saying a lot. That's spitting out a whole lot. I mean, we have at our disposal right now all the technology, every single piece of technology that it takes to literally reach out and touch the stars. I'm really stoked about this whole deal. You know, if anybody out there wants to call in and talk about this deal, you feel free to call me up on Skype. Just add me as a contact, Shaziz, out there, and tell me your thoughts on the matter, whether you think I'm wrong or not. But we got plasma technology that is capable of creating a massive amount of high voltage. We've got the capability to basically steer a magnetic field in any direction. we have the capability to create a metal that is so strong that you don't have to worry about micrometeorites punching through the hull of the ship. We have the capability of not only traveling at the speed of light, but surpassing the speed of light to mind-boggling speeds. Now, we are on the precipice of literally turning science fiction into science fact. I'm really anxious to get all this stuff with virtual labs going and begin some research. I'm also doing a little bit of research in americium that you know, you can find in your smoke detectors inside your doggone house or whatever. It's a really tiny bit of radioactive material, but it also has potential as well. And so, you know, with that said, these are just a few things that don't even scratch the full surface of what we as humanity are capable of doing as far as the available technology that we have before us. So now it would be an awesome time to get all these researchers out there in this world together on a project such as really seriously creating some alternative energy devices that would benefit all of mankind. So, you know, I'm putting a call out. If you're an alternative energy researcher, and even if you're just dabbling in it or just getting started in it or just interested in it, join us with Virtual Labs. Join us on Shaziz Radio and Awake Radio and No Borders Radio. Get in these chat rooms and start talking back and forth to each other. Use this tools that we have. I mean, right now, you know, everybody's tired of paying electric bills. Everybody's tired of all the wars over oil and stupidity, when all along we've had the technology. The technology for every single aspect of traveling through time and space has been there right before our very eyes all along. There's this material that they found out there in Roswell, New Mexico. Nobody claimed it. Nobody said that they could recreate it. No, nobody knew its exact purpose, but they, because of their minds as far as chemistry and such, could figure out possible uses for it. And so with that said, if there really indeed was a UFO found in Roswell, New Mexico, then that means that the government has this technology, and that a lot of them things that you see flying through the sky that just simply cannot be explained are our own black ops projects, our own government's freaking aircraft. I mean, that it's there. I can visualize the whole thing from start to finish. If I had the tools, if I had the lab, I could literally build a flying saucer that would travel faster than the speed of light and get there to and fro, you know, without any complications whatsoever. That it's that doggone simple. I mean, if you got a fuel source such as magnesium and bismuth mix that has the potential of creating hydrogen on demand without ever even having to put any electricity to it, there's a fuel source right there in itself. And by designing the proper plasma drive engine, which I drew a couple crude pictures, it's somewhere on my website, I can't remember exactly where I put it, I think it's in Virtual Labs, but I threw a couple just crude pictures up there of what a plasma drive engine should look like. You could literally take that hydrogen and create a plasma effect that would have enough power to propel you through space at a ludicrous speed. I mean, almost scary. And it's not beyond the realms of possibility. You've seen a lot of videos out there, if you've done any researches on ion generators and ion drives that where they take like capacitors and discharge them and they get them to spin around in the air, you know, as long as they're suspended by a string. Now imagine if you take that same technology, that same idea, you combine the plasma technology with the ion generation, and then you guide that down an engine and push it out into space. All you have to do when you're in space is basically give it a little bit of push, and then it will go. So imagine if you put a massive thrust behind that thing, and then your ship is light enough out there in space to begin with, because there's no gravity in space. It doesn't take a whole lot of to get it started. But imagine if you are able to put a massive thrust behind that ship out into space, and you're not bogged down by having to carry tons and tons of fuel. All you need to get from here to Mars in a flash would be a gallon of water, and you're there and back like that. Now, maybe it sounds crazy, but the technology is there. We have the capabilities right now to reach out and touch the stars. So if they haven't already done it, I don't understand why they aren't on it, all over it, because if I can figure this out in my head and see it work, then they should have been doing this a long time ago, and I'm positive, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they have. They've probably went further in space than they ever will say. But like I said, the materials are there, the capabilities there, the capabilities of actually creating a generator that will run all the electricity that you want. I mean, I'm talking about building a generating system that you can leave your house on 24/7, 365 days a year without ever even having to pay a doggone bill. Wasting free energy. You throw in there solar, and it's ludicrous how many different things could be added to this deal. As far as guidance and finding your way from star to star, I mean, we got the technology right now to take some really high-definition photos and essentially use the computer to program it in, where essentially you look at a star, it's already got the GPS coordinates on that star. You map it in, and point and click and go. You're there in a flash. Whew, that's a lot. I'm telling you, folks, if this material turns out to be exactly what they're talking about, and I saw the video, you go check the video out and be your own judge, but when they put that material in there, in that water, and they were producing hydrogen without any deterioration of the metal, without putting any electricity in there, and the water stayed clear, you go build you a hydrogen cell out of some stainless steel plates and run a 12-volt battery on there, positive on one side, negative on the opposite side, through the electrolysis process, and throw you a little bit of baking soda inside there to basically boost the conductivity of the water. You will produce hydrogen, and you will basically watch that water get pretty cruddy after a while. And, to get around that, that's a plus in itself, because now you're not polluting the water that you're using for fuel. All you're doing is basically separating the hydrogen and the oxygen through a process that is totally unknown using these particular materials. See, this is why I always say that it's the anomalies in all the experiments out there from all these different researchers. A researcher may have a really good idea, and they get this one particular anomaly going on, and they can't necessarily get the device to be over unity or perpetual motion or whatever. For some reason, there's always some drawback in there. I think now we have the potential to actually change that. Now that we know how bismuth actually works, it doesn't block out a magnetic field, but it redirects it around the material. And so with that said, now you have a way by which you can actually steer the magnetic field. You know, before it was the magnetic field's going to go where it's going to go, and that's it. Now you have the capabilities of guiding that field in any direction that you want. And so, knowing that the Earth itself has its own magnetic field, and there's lines of force, flux all over the planet, you can aim your magnetic field to whichever direction you want to go. Which when I get to thinking about it, and I look at all these different UFO videos where they see something flying through the sky and how it actually travels, where it's like zips across horizontal and then it zips up vertical, you know, and it just really sharp angled turns, and I can understand why now those ships act the way that they do when they're flying, because they're following the actual field lines of the magnetic field of the Earth itself. Since the whole universe is an electrical universe, there's magnetic fields everywhere. If you want to go to the moon, you aim your ship at the moon and let the moon's magnetic field draw you over just like that. Just as fast as you see two neodymium magnets attract each other. You know, some of these neodymium magnets have the strength that they'll literally smash your fingers right off of your hand because of the strength and the speed by which they're actually attracting to each other. That's pretty impressive stuff. So we have the capabilities to create a super magnetic field via neodymium magnets that is actually stronger than the Earth's magnetic field. We have the capabilities to redirect the magnetic field in whichever direction we want. We have the capabilities to create plasma drive engines, ion generators, and so on and so forth. At all these anomalies from all these different alternative energy devices, we have the knowledge to do every single thing that we need to literally create a ship that we can travel through time and space itself. One other good point to be made on the hydrogen portion of the deal: when you separate the water from the hydrogen from the water, you are also left with oxygen. And so that same gallon of water that you're going to use to get you to and from Mars will be the same gallon of water that puts oxygen in your cabin so you can breathe. And we have CO2 scrubber systems that can keep the CO2 up out of the doggone cab and all that kind of stuff while you're flying through space. So what do you do with that waste CO2? Well, CO2 is one of the inert gases that's non-combustible. However, you could use that doggone CO2 to literally create plasma. You can use that CO2 to put into the water to literally create an electrolyte such as making the water more conductive in order to use the electrolysis process to speed up the hydrogen production. So even the waste gases coming out of your lungs while you're breathing have the capability of helping your ship go even faster. Think about the implications of all this. You have the implications of being able to create an energy device that is not only clean but self-reliant. So I'm wanting to do a whole lot of research on this subject right here. I've already got a lot of research invested in my plasma technology and using old Tesla technology and combining with the plasma technology. Now adding with the americium technology that I'm messing around with, and the bismuth and the magnesium and the zinc, there are so many possibilities that can come about out of this whole entire deal that it is just incredible. So I'd like to put a call out to every single researcher out there. I would like to invite you to come over to Shaziz Radio and help us get virtual labs on the road. Help us get it going, because the technologies and advancements that could come out of all of this is just mind-boggling. We have the tools, we have the technology, the materials are out there. Man, I tell you what, if anybody out there wants to call in and tell me where they think I'm going wrong right here, I'd love to hear from you. Or if you want to call in there, or you've heard anything else in the alternative energy world that you think would flow right in with what I'm talking about, or, you know, anything. Don't feel for it. Just call in. And, Rick was asking what can be done about the G-force effect. Well, when you're in space, you don't have the gravitational forces that you would have being on Earth. Now, it's obvious that you don't want to go light speed while you're within a gravitational field, but while you're out into space, brother, you can scream along as fast as you want and not have to worry about your face being sucked back through the back of your helmet and stuff. So that portion right there, I'm not even stressing over that, because I also this technology leads into all kinds of technology such as anti-gravity and even more than that. So if you're inside that field, you're not going to feel the effects of gravity like you would do in a like a F-15, F-14 fighter jet or stealth or whatever. You're not going to feel that. And as long as you're out into space, you can go as fast as you want. And once you have anti-gravity going on, you can do that inside the atmosphere as well. Of course, you're not going to make any people on the planet very happy when they get a sonic boom of epic proportions as you go blowing through the atmosphere. But it's all there. It's all solved. All we got to do is get these doggone researchers on the ball. We got to get every individual out there, every brilliant mind from every different nation up in the virtual labs and in each other's labs and doing the research on this stuff. And putting the things together. I mean, we don't even have to send a human into space if we didn't want to do that. We could literally build a micro ship that could go fly out there and snap pictures and come back. We could fly by wire, you know, kind of like their crazy drones that they got out there that they used to go around blowing people up instead of doing something good with. We could literally explore space without ever even having to leave this planet. It's pretty doggone impressive, man. But like I said, the material's there. The technology's there. You get hydrogen on demand without ever even having to put no electricity in there. You ain't got no poisonous byproducts in there. All you're doing is releasing the hydrogen from it. When the water runs out, all you got left is oxygen. You know, shoot, what do you do? You build you some fuel rods out of this particular material, and you have a hydrogen reactor that all you have to do is, when the water runs out, put some more water in there. There's not even any heat produced in the process, so you're not having to worry about a meltdown of any sort. So, you know, like I said, man, the implications are just mind-boggling. I mean, I'm literally stoked on this whole deal. I keep looking back in the past, and I see all these technologies that they have out there. I mean, the mercury arc rectifier. While I don't subscribe to the whole using mercury to vaporize mercury into a gas and then turn that into plasma, because you have all kinds of inert gases that you could make the plasma with instead, you know, that you don't have to worry about if there's a breach of the system getting mercury poisoning and stuff and being like the Mad Hatter. So, you know, but either way, back then, there was the very first plasma reactor. I mean, look at the Manhattan Project, you know, look at the doggone nuclear bombs and stuff. That's some pretty high-tech stuff going on. Take a look at your cell phone. Take a look at the stealth as it flies through the sky. That is some pretty high-tech equipment. And so here we are. We're talking on the internet. We're transmitting our voices wirelessly in most cases, because you have to make a jump from the fiber optics to the other hard line across there over to a repeater that sends it over to this one here and back to that one. It's amazing what we're doing with just the internet alone. Add in that all these brilliant minds, add in all the knowledge, the combined knowledge of every single individual out there who's done any kind of research in any direction, and there isn't nothing that we can't accomplish. So it's my firm belief that a lot of those nifty-looking gizmos that you see up there in the sky that are flying in ways that the conventional airplanes don't fly, that seem to defy the laws of physics and the laws of gravity and appear and disappear at random, some of those are ours. So, I'll tell you what, man. What we have before us is an awesome opportunity. What we have before us is the chance to bring humanity into the literal space age, changing science fiction to science fact. You know, teleportation, not a problem. I mean, we can do it. We can do anything that you can put your mind to. If you can dream it, it can be done. I mean, that's that. You know, people are going to think, oh, well, Oshaziz is off his freaking rocker. Go out there and do a little bit of research. Put A with B. You know, A by itself don't look very impressive. You know, if you take Einstein's energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, E by itself's not impressive. M by itself is not impressive. The squared by itself is not impressive. But if you take energy at the speed of light, the faster you get something going, the heavier it gets. And then you take and slam that into something else, you release a massive amount of energy. So, you know, with that said, we were talking just a second ago about G-forces and stuff. Imagine the G-forces of an atom slamming into another atom. Imagine the energy release that comes out of that. That's a lot of power. Now, once all this, all these systems are combined in together, now you pretty much, you're flying inside a bullet going through space faster than the speed of light, and you're not feeling any effects. I'm telling you, folks, it can be done. Rick asked a question, do you think there is validity to time displacement in a forward-generated gravitational field? Yeah, I believe that time gets displaced. I believe that there's so much more to this world and to the universe than possibly imagine. I mean, you think about what actually holds the universe together. You know, they talk about dark matter. What is dark matter, you know? What is it that actually holds the proton, the neutron, and the electron together? You know, what magical force keeps the atom from just falling apart? What keeps our universe from just flying apart? You know, when you think about centrifugal force, you think about you're spinning something around at such an alarming speed. You know, there's things flying around the doggone Earth, satellites and stuff, 25,000 miles an hour, even faster, junk flying through space that the spacemen have to watch out for, because it'll blow a hole right through the spaceship while they're up there if they don't keep an eye on the space junk, because we pretty much littered the entire upper atmosphere, whatever, where the first levels of space are, with junk. You know, old dead satellites and screws that they drop while working on something, and who knows what all kinds of junk up there, debris filled of epic proportions. So, you know, the satellites got to be at the right level, otherwise they get slammed with junk and pelted all the time. So anyway, yeah, man, it's just like water, you know. If you throw a big rock into water, you're going to displace that water. You know, I believe it's literally possible to bend time and space. And even Einstein thought that it was possible to literally fold time and space to get from point A to point B in a hurry. And so maybe when that massive pressure goes behind that ship that you just ignited, as that massive pressure wave flies through, it's literally folding time and space itself, and you're going from point A to point B in a blink of an eye. You know, if aliens were getting here, and they started off thousands of years ago to get here, or even millions of years ago, because some of the light, the visible light that we're seeing, is just getting here. By the time you get there, that place may not even be there anymore. So, if they are getting here, that means they're doing it fast. That means they are doing it damn fast. And so, if they're flying that doggone fast through space and getting here, and the technology's right there before your very eyes, you know, maybe as they were coming into our atmosphere, maybe something went wrong in their guidance system, and just like two magnets attracting, they lost control of their guidance system just for a brief enough moment, and that ship magnetically coupled with the Earth and slammed right into the dirt. Pow! And then suddenly here comes our military guys. Hey, look what we found, guys. We got to cover this up. It was a weather balloon. And they go take it off in their little shops and start studying it and reverse engineering it and realizing that, man, they got some materials here that are just mind-boggling, incredible stuff. So, you know, hey, we've got it, man. I'm telling you, the technology is there right before our very eyes. Now, are we going to pick up this ball and run with it? Or are we just going to pass it off as some nut job on the other side of a microphone saying, hey, look, we can go through time and space? I'm aiming to prove it. You go read on my YouTube channel. I said basically, essentially, the search for free energy. I said electricity is free, and I aim to prove it. That is my ultimate goal, to prove free electricity, to bring Tesla's work back into the light. You know, that man did some incredible research, and that research should have had us more advanced than what we are today. We should be so much more advanced as society. We should literally be able to see cars and things, anti-gravity toys and whatever. You know, in the private chat, he's asking me about warp speed, man. I'm telling you, what you've seen on Star Trek The Next Generation, that is child's play compared to what we could actually accomplish. That is, it's all there. Every doggone bit of it. Everything around you has energy. Everything around you has a frequency. You know, just like tuning into your favorite radio show. You can't hear it if you're in between the channels, but that doesn't mean it's not still there. That radio station is still there. All you got to do is tune into it. Next thing you know, you're listening to your favorite radio station. And while you're listening to your favorite radio station, there's thousands more radio stations that you have access to that you can tune in as well. You can't hear them while you're listening to yours, but it doesn't mean it's not there. I mean, we are sitting in a sea of energy, a sea of frequencies and sound waves and potential of epic proportions. We have the capabilities to do it. So, I'm putting a call out to every single researcher out there. If you are on YouTube and you come across an alternative energy researcher, get them over here. Get them over to Shaziz Radio. Get them on the Knights of the Round Table. Get them on the Mad Science Show. Get them in the virtual labs. Get them to Awake Radio. Get them to No Borders Radio. Get the conversation started. Point out all these things. Look back at all the previous technology that we've had throughout the entire history of the known industrial world, and then even further back than that. You know, the Egyptians knew something. They built some really massive things, and they're still sitting there. Go out and look on Easter Island. Look at all the different big giant statues that are all over this world. Look at the big blocks of granite that have somehow been precisionally cut and moved from point A to point B into an area where there is no granite. How did those stones even get there? I mean, the technology, the knowledge, the lost, if you want to call it suppressed or hidden or whatever. This video that I watched, I put the link inside the Shaziz Radio chat room with that lady. You know, if you was just watching that video and you never had any prior knowledge to anything else or wasn't thinking about nothing, you would think it was just another, you know, I found a piece of a UFO video and there's no really substantial proof that this is even possible. But when you got prior knowledge, when you go into this video and you already know that bismuth has the capability of redirecting a magnetic field that can actually create magnetic levitation, and then you hear the things that they were talking about in there by combining bismuth with magnesium and zinc, that you you now have a super strong alloy that you tingle it with some high voltage, and now you got something that can literally float. You know, and then the hydrogen potential. So this technology right here would lead into other discoveries. Taking, you don't take and make a cookie without all these ingredients, you know. You know, by itself, you know, sugar's okay, you know, but you're not going to have a cookie out of it by itself. But you get all this stuff together, your flour, your milk, your eggs, and your sugar, and the next thing you know, you've got a delicious cookie, and it's amazing. Everybody's got a smile on their face. They're eating cookies. The same thing applies in science. You take this material with that material, you combine it together, and you the anomalies that one material's capabilities have combined with another material's capability, you can literally get electricity out of two different types of metal by plugging it into the freaking dirt. So now you got chemistry reaction going on with a little bit of galvanic action off of the galvanized metal, with a little bit of reaction off the extra electron in copper. You now have a little electrical current that's flowing. There's an anomaly there. There's something happening. And so with that said, man, it's just mind-boggling. Anyway, I'm going to throw on a quick tune or two, and then get back into this. If like I said, if you find any researchers out there, share this podcast with them, share the website with them and stuff like that, and let's try to get everybody up into virtual labs, and man, let's just do this thing. Let's just, you know, I keep saying this over and over, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that we can't accomplish with the tools that we've got available to us, with the technology, with you know, all the knowledge, the combined knowledge of all the different peoples from all these different nations and stuff. We got it. We have got it. We have literally stumbled onto the holy grail of free energy, and I aim to prove it. So with that said, I'm going to throw on a couple of tunes. I think I'll throw this one here on that my friend Thomas likes. All right, stay tuned, folks. Peace and love. You're listening to Shaziz Mad Science.
As I read the Gazette to catch up on the news, some classified adverts I chanced to peruse, when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly, but left in a funk, for I quite enjoyed the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers are just taking modern objects and stuck on some gears. It's simply not cricket, it shouldn't be done, but it's clear how their thoughts had run. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on, I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy. Heavens to Betsy, a land of unregretting. Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name. Or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is sloth at the worst. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. We're back. You're listening to Shaziz Mad Science. And I talked about all kinds of stuff there. Science fiction being science fact. I'm telling you, it's there. Every bit of information that we need. I mean, if you look around you and you look at all the different things, materials, something as simple as how your vacuum sweeper works, and all the different appliances that you have throughout your entire house, you are sitting on a gold mine of information and knowledge. I mean, I've been taking things apart since I was 9 years old just to see how they work. Now, I'm not just taking things apart, I'm also putting things together, you know. I'm trying to create and build and design, and I come up with all kinds of really nifty ideas out of all the knowledge that I've learned from everything out there, you know. I know how an internal combustion engine works, so I know that there's ways by which you could actually modify that same engine to run even more efficient than it does, you know. Or being able to create, use an old technology, a steam generating system that would have the capabilities of turning a generator head, you know. How to make windmills, how to make solar earth batteries and such. So there's just so much information out there. Now, what you do with that information is, you know, is up to you. It's up to us. If we want, you know, free energy, we got to do it. We got to tap into what's already there. I mean, it's there, you know. Think about it. All around you, there's something going on at any given time. You know, the wind's blowing somewhere. There's energy. You know, you got lightning blasting off somewhere. There's energy. You got energy being transmitted through the dirt, through the chemistry of the earth. You know, there's crystals that are vibrating. There's energy, you know. There's iron in the soil. There's a big molten metal core within the center of earth that is spinning around producing heat, which is creating thermal energy through all the irons and metals and materials in the earth that creates a magnetic field of epic proportion that acts as a shield around us. And so we were talking about a spaceship, building an actual ship that could literally fly through time and space, and forward gravity displacement, like Rick was asking about. You know, you're going to literally punch through and move out of the way anything that's in your way if you have the strong field and the strong ship that could be made. You wouldn't have to worry about slamming into a meteor or anything like that unless for some reason you lost power and your shields went down. That would be a bad deal. But anyway, you know, the technology's there to literally repel anything that comes your way. I mean, look at how magnets work. Opposites attract and positives repel each other. You can You can literally magnetize a piece of paper, you know, by rubbing a doggone balloon on your head. You can pick up paper. And so we know how different materials react to certain things. We even know how to send a sound wave out, bounce it off something, and when it comes back, it'll tell us what type of material it is. Think about that. A metal detector. Whenever you're going around, you put a metal detector over the ground, and you're waving it back and forth. When that signal's going down, bouncing back up to the metal detector, it can literally distinguish whether it's iron, aluminum, or copper, or gold, or silver. It can tell you, without even looking at, without you even seeing it, what type of material is in that dirt. So if you could have that same technology and you were beaming it ahead of you, beaming the signal ahead of you, sound wave, light waves, you can use spectroscopy from light, you know, and by the different colors that come back will tell you what material something is. You can adjust your field accordingly. You know, hey, we got a big chunk of iron coming our way. Let's magnetize that sucker and push it out of the way. It's just, it's limitless. It's limitless what we could actually accomplish with what we're doing here, you know. We all want the same thing. We want peace and love and hope and humanity and everything. We want our world to be a better place. You're not going to get anyone from the top to give you what it is that you need. It's going to be up to us to create it, build it, and do whatever, you know. Am I saying that we all need to get together and build a flying saucer? I'd like to see that. That'd be cool as heck, because I'd be the first one to volunteer to go for a ride, you know. But no, I'm saying that we could take this same technology and we could create systems by which we can use the natural resources right there in our own general vicinity to produce all the energy needs that we got to keep warm in the wintertime and to keep cool in the summertime and so on down the line. All this technology's there. You can build an air conditioner for free if you got a doggone 30-foot covert pipe and bury it down into the ground 6 feet down under. Then when that hot air from the outside goes down, it gets cooled down underneath the dirt and then blown into your house, and there you got air conditioning for your house. There's actually a castle out not too far from where I'm at where they use a cave to cool the entire castle. You know, the wind blowing up inside that cave sends the cool air upwards into the castle, and it's pretty wild. Pretty wild hell. But either way, the only reason for bringing that little example up is that we know what things do. We know what different materials do. We've done enough research to know how they react with other materials. We know what materials not to mix with each other. And we know that this material has this anomaly and that material has that anomaly, and together combined that we create a strong alloy, you know. So there's no reason why the people at the top haven't already had this technology. If they ain't more advanced than what they are right now, if they've got us all fooled and they don't know more than what they're actually saying, then I would eat my hat. I'd be surprised. Heck, I'd eat this computer right here, because, you know, just the mere fact that I'm sitting here talking through a space-age technology to all these people all over the globe is telling me that if I have access to this on my budget, you could imagine what they have access to on their budget, which essentially their budget is out of our pockets. So they have an unlimited budget. It must be nice to have a credit card that never expires and that you can just withdraw from any time you want and even get loans against. So with that said, take everything that we know, take everything that we have researched, combine it in together, take all these anomalies and put them together and connect the world in an amazing way. I mean, it's just unlimited. Unlimited potential of what we could actually accomplish if you guys, you know, and I work together. So, you know, with that said, I need another quick breather, so I'm going to take and throw on another tune. If anybody wants to call in, feel free to jump in here and call me up and talk about this. We got little bit of time before Beverly's Hope show comes on, which I will be hosting this afternoon because we've got grandchildren over today, and Grandma's kind of busy right now. So with that said, I'm going to throw on a tune, and I'll be back in shortly. Peace and love, everybody.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations,
to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Hello, everybody. We're back. I'm trying to get Rick on here. Give me a second. I'll throw another tune on you for a second. Here's a good tune right here. Deep Purple, Perfect Strangers.
Can you remember?
crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Yeah, give me the number for 911, too, and don't learn electrical safety by accident. Hey, everybody, you're listening to Shaziz Mad Science, and we got Rick and Rick on here, and I heard a lady in here, too. Who all we got in here?
Annie.
Annie, how you doing?
waking up.
I told her to step in the teleporter, and that we're going to come visit you for a few minutes.
Yo.
So I just snatched her and closed the door, and now we're at Jesus' place. See, you think he's pulling your leg, man. This stuff is possible.
Yep.
If my voice can travel through wires and through satellites to the other side of the world where you can hear it instantly when I'm over here, there's no reason why we can't move almost anything at that speed.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Just got to figure out how.
That's what I'm saying. Science fiction has become science fact. I mean, people need to get used to it because you're going to see some really cool advancements, but the problem is, are these cool advancements going to come via us, or are they going to come via somebody else who has control of that technology? See, there's where the problem lies, because all this technology that I'm talking about, it's not new stuff. It's not something that was just discovered yesterday or today. You go all the way back to the Mercury Arc rectifier. That was the very first plasma reactor. It was also the very first diode ever created. You know, it turned high voltage AC into high voltage DC so that they could run the Edison electric motors that they had going on. Because before Tesla turned it over to AC, everybody was using DC. And DC was kind of dangerous because not only did it start fires, that if you built up a static charge on your body and got too close to the outlet, you're liable to get the crud shocked out of you. And so,
hey,
you know, they already had the system set up, and so they didn't want to necessarily take out the elevator motors to be able to run, you know, just because of switch over to AC, so they needed to build a rectifier, and that's where the Mercury Arc rectifier came in, where essentially it took, mercury, a little pool of mercury inside of a vacuum, and the high-voltage AC heated up the mercury to the point where it vaporized, and then that high-voltage AC coming in created plasma, which in turn built up a massive electric charge inside there, and because of the pressure behind that plasma, the electricity could only flow one way. Thus forth, you had a diode, you know, one-way current, DC, coming out the other side. Now, isn't that incredible?
That is incredible. But here's my question. My question is, you know, we definitely have that tech here already, but are we opening a Pandora's box when we start tinkering with time displacement?
Well, I would say yeah. I would say
there would be constantly. Hey, Kennedy would be dying a million times because people would keep going back and reversing it, and then the bad guys would go back and kill him again.
Well, I'm saying,
so it'd be constantly, he'd be getting killed every day. I think we should leave that alone, and time travel should be illegal.
Well,
but it's traveling at the speed of light, that's fine. In fact, while you were talking, Chaz,
yeah,
something popped into my head that I've never thought of before. And it was because of something that one of your guests in the roundtable last week said. And when I had mentioned about my voice going all the way over to England, I mean to Ireland, to Steve's computer, or through the servers or whatever, and all over the place, from there to the servers, then to be distributed all around the world, where my voice is splitting into however many listeners there is, not losing any quality. And I said Einstein was wrong because my voice going over these waves has proven something can travel faster than the speed of light. And he mentioned, you know, we were talking matter, and he said, and it's not really your voice, it's a representation of it. So while you were talking, and I was thinking about how you were talking about flying fast or teleportation, maybe, now see if you guys can wrap your head around this. Maybe you travel by staying home and going to sleep, and a digital representation of yourself travels. Maybe those ghosts walking through walls is that stuff.
Well, you know,
in other words, imagine if I could go to your house or to Mars or anywhere by simply getting in at something and putting my physical body asleep in a trance while I'm pixelated with the same capabilities as the original CD, like when you rip a CD. I got a piece of plastic with music on it. I put it in my computer. I rip the digital music off of it, the encoding, all the numbers that make that music sound like a guitar and the exact replication of the guy's voice. And I fly it through the air. Well, then somebody can make a physical, identical almost thing over there.
I understand.
So what I'm saying is, I could be...
I'm understanding exactly what you're saying, and to some extent, we already do that as far as humanity. I mean, if you look at the unmanned drones, they're... Uh-oh, we got something wrong with the call there. If you look at the unmanned drones, they're not there, but they can see everything that's going on and so forth and so on. So it's all about the experience as far as I'm concerned. I don't necessarily have to stand on Mars to go see it. I mean, that would be cool. Do I have anybody left in this call here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I must have been on the other room.
Yeah, it looks like the call dropped.
Oh. Well, anyway, as far as messing around with time, you know, I don't think that that's a wise idea, and it's going to be a case of, you know, we got to use some common sense on the way out. I mean, we don't want to create anything that's going to hurt anybody or make a mess, but on the alternative energy side, this technology has the capability of solving everyone's problem, you know. I mean, there's no reason to fight over over oil or resources if everybody has access to those without, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What I was just talking about.
Yeah, so, you know...
We're talking about, like, Neo is sleeping in a pod, but he's acting out his life on Earth in the Matrix.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, maybe, you know, I mean, hypothetically, our life on Earth could be the same way. We could be in a surrogate body. Have you ever seen the movie Surrogates?
Uh-uh.
Oh, wow, that is right up your alley. Find that and watch it. Surrogates.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
It was a few years ago. Basically, it was like this. People, it's in an advanced time in the future, and people have robots that they live their life through while they're sleeping. You know, they're sleeping in a room or in their bed propped up, and they put their, you know, they jack themselves into the system. And then it's their robot self that is going in society, interacting with other robots.
Wow.
It's pretty bizarre.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like if you wanted to have fun, you could go out there and torment your robot because he would get whacked and you wouldn't.
Right, exactly. You could jump off cliffs or jump from building to building like Neo does. And the capability of your virtual self would be whatever you can focus your mind on.
But
so
are you
get better at it, you know, like when you're a little kid or a cat, a little baby kitten will try to jump on things. He's testing his legs and stuff. So it would kind of be like Neo in the Matrix when he was like, watch me, and he runs and he jumps from one building top to the other. And Neo falls the first time. He's like, don't worry about that. It happens all the time.
But what we're
you got to believe.
But what we're sitting here talking about, I mean, it literally sounds like science fiction, but it's not. It's science fact. And as far as UFOs or whatever, I'm a firm believer that the technology that they got out of there, wherever it came from, is well more advanced than anything that we've got before us. I keep saying this. I said, if you look at your cell phone, you look at these computers we're talking on, and all the different appliances you have around your house, some serious thought, some serious technology went into building that, and everything as far as microchips are getting smaller and smaller on a daily basis, and so technology is advancing at an alarming rate. However, if you have access to what you have, you can imagine what the other characters have access on their side, because they got a credit card that we pay for that is unlimited, so they can go out and do all the shopping. Imagine if we had those resources for ourselves, and we could literally, via virtual labs and Shaziz Radio, Wake Radio, No Borders, Shake and Wake, and all the different networks out there combined, all the knowledge combined from all the different nations and all the different brilliant minds that have come together and talked about things on this show, there isn't nothing that we couldn't accomplish. Does anybody disagree with that?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
And if you add the fact that what you're doing, if you're doing it with good intent and you've got the Creator's blessing, all things are possible through faith.
Well, I agree, you know, and
he'll inspire things that you never thought of. Like just now, why did I never think of that before? In other words, if I created a hologram that could travel somewhere, and I could walk around in that hologram, looking through that hologram, in other words, I would see through the eyes of that thing, then nothing... You know, in other words, I could get hit by a car, it would just pass right through me, because I'm not really there.
You ever see the capabilities of that means we could go to any planet, regardless of the atmosphere, and literally, you know, do science, you know? We could
right.
find out
hey,
how things
hey,
really
your,
work.
Your hologram could have built-in software that's picking up how much radiation, temperature levels, everything, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So,
you know, I think we live that way already, though. I think we don't realize it, but I think our sleeping time is a time for our ethereal being to do what it wants to do, to explore what it wants to explore, to break the borders and the boundaries of physical placement. We're not a physical being when we're asleep.
No. I'm a firm believer.
You become consciousness. You become your consciousness.
I'm a firm believer that when we are asleep,
because the controlling part of your mind is taking a rest.
I'm a firm.
So it's let loose.
I'm a firm believer.
That's why people have weird dreams. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm a firm believer that when we are asleep, we have the capabilities of traveling through time and space. Literally, you know. I mean, not with our physical body, as one would think, you know, like Rick was saying, like a hologram, but our mind is capable of traveling all over the place and learning so much and doing and creating in those dreams alternate realities for ourselves, you know, while our body rests. So that's pretty...
Did you ever see the movie K-Pax?
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Kevin Spacey, well, he's traveling by light when the sun comes up. You know, when he says he's going to leave. And when he's under hypnosis, he's talking about how no one misses him on his planet, because he's not gone. It's kind of like what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
In other words, the reason that Probe can show up in Grand Central Station as the light shines in, boom, now he's there. And people are like, do you see that person appear out of nowhere or what? You know? And he gets whisked off to the mental institution. That's a great movie, man. There's a lot of things going on in there that explain a lot. And I do think that the things you see in movies are probably already capable but hidden from us.
Oh, I know
the Illuminati like to tell you what's really going on. So Stargates and stuff like that, it's probably real, and that's probably how the Antichrist is going to come through and be here.
For the average Joe just tuning in, they might think, oh wow, I just fell onto a wacko convention, but you know what? Hey, thinking outside the box is how all these innovations had come about in our lifetime. You know, there wouldn't have been a light bulb if somebody had to thought outside the box. Look how many of the science guys from the past they said were crazy, you know, like Einstein. Look at his hair. I like to keep my hair like Einstein because it's a it's a show of intelligence.
For all we know, I like the hair. I like it. For all we know, we're living, we could be living in a virtual reality, meaning you're not really here. So when this body dies, you wake up on wherever it is you are.
Yeah,
you
but know, even...
In other words, this life could be that you're not really here. The real you is somewhere else, and this is just a meat suit that you're using while you experience this place at this time.
Well, I'm telling you this, there is nothing, and I repeat, nothing that anyone could say or do that would even surprise me in the least after things that I've witnessed in my lifetime. And so, with that said, I believe in all possibilities, and I will not get back in the box, no matter how hard they try, you know. Well, you said something about the insane asylums. I believe there's a lot of people just like me up in nut houses that don't belong there. They were just folks that thought outside the box, and when they told people what it is that they believed or saw, you know, oh, you must be nuts. Like
I say the same things, and the Illuminati and the government use that technique quite often to silence somebody. John Todd himself wound up in a mental hospital, and then rumor has it that a helicopter came for him there, and he was taken off to a satanic sacrifice because he spilled the beans on his own family and became saved by Jesus, so he says, is the reason why, you know, he came out. I mean, why would a guy who's in the top 12 or 13 Illuminati families, head of Zodiac Productions that's in charge of every major rock band in the country, and a dope empire... if that man says that Christians prayed for him, so he was saved and decided to tell the truth about everything he knows about New World Order and the Illuminati, I would have to believe that he's telling the truth. Especially when everything that he said, we're all studying and learning now. And he was saying that back in the 70s, you know.
Well, there's a lot of guys from the past. Rick, did you have something you want to say real quick?
Well, yeah. There's just a quote that sticks in my mind all the time, which really ties into this. It's from Albert Einstein, and it's, "If an idea does not sound absurd, there's no hope for it."
Yeah. Well, I believe that, you know. See, you know, maybe I'm kind of a screwball, but when they talk about the laws of physics, and they say, okay, well, 9 times out of 10, I got this same exact result, but this one time I got this anomaly, so since it was majority rules in my research here, 9 times out of 10, I'm just going to say this is one of the laws of physics. I don't care about the 9 times that it happened the same way. What I'm interested in is the one time that it happened differently, and those are where the innovations lie. Those are the portions of thinking outside the box that I want to bring to light, you know, and I know.
Right, like I said about the light bulb.
You found
like 780 ways not to make a light bulb.
So, you know, with that said, we're standing on the edge of an amazing opportunity here, you know. We can either, you know, piss it off and let the global elite do whatever it is that they do. And right now, they don't have total control over us, and I'm sure that that's their ultimate goal, to get total control over us. But right now, you and I are free enough to talk right now and talk about what it is that we're talking about. And so with that said, at this opportunity right now is the time that the door is open for us, and we need to walk through that door and bring all these technologies together and all these brilliant minds together to accomplish our goal. What do you guys think of that?
I think I totally agree with. I love listening to you talk. It reminds me of a friend I had when I was a teenager and we first started getting high. He would come up with all these different theories that would blow my mind, but then I would see it as being logical and possible.
I think Michael
do. And I bet you there's a lot of people in mental institutions that could contribute to this project. Maybe we should write letters.
Well, I saw.
Do you have anybody who talks about
I saw a teleportation
or whatever. Give us its name.
Yeah, I would like to. I would like to have conversations with those guys.
They must have computer rooms in mental hospitals, maybe.
I said,
if you're low risk and you're just an intellectual pussycat, then I'm sure they'd let them use the computer. Maybe they could contribute even locked up, you know?
I saw a video called Doomsday where there were some sci-fi guys that run a video store, and they turned around. If you ever have an opportunity to go watch that, if you haven't seen it, go watch the movie Doomsday. It's pretty good, but the guy who saved the world was a guy that the government put into the mental institution that was a brilliant mind. He had all kinds of scenarios worked out for every type of doomsday you could possibly imagine, and turned around and was able to save the world. You know, they broke him up out of the mental institution, but either way, you know, there's a lot to be said in that deal. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know, we're talking about faster than the speed of light, and you know, there's a paradox involved with that you know, deals with time displacement.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't think we know enough to be messing around with things like that, because you know, it is possible to tear a hole in the fabric of space.
Well, and that's why I say the responsibility is going to have to be in there, because we do have the capabilities of causing some really heck of problems. I mean, you think about it, if you could travel faster than the speed of light, and you could go from, like, starting on one point of the Earth and all the way around, you could actually literally get there before you ever even left.
Right. Like the way Pro in K-Pax travels.
Yeah.
And maybe while he's gone, time stands still.
And so what happens? What happens when you get there before you left? Do you put a scuff on the fabric of time? We don't know these things. And so these are the kind of things that we have to watch out for. I'm saying, you know, using the knowledge that we've got, we have the capabilities of literally building a flying saucer to travel through time and space itself. But should we? That's another question.
Well, they already have them. We've got them. I've got pictures I'll send you.
Well, I believe that as well. But the thing is, right now, you know, we got to...
We don't have them. The Illuminati, you know, the people keeping all the information hidden. Away from us has.
Where the problem lies is we got to work with what we have at our disposal. Right now, we have a lot of materials. We have
Why don't we just arrest them and take their toys?
Well, that
force
would be
them, like Operation Paperclip. We'll let a few of them live to tell us how all this stuff works.
That would be nice if that could actually
confiscate it. We pay for all that stuff. It's ours.
Well,
and they won't let us see it or use it.
Once again,
it's ours.
Once again, it's a matter of getting everybody together. See, now on a ground level, we're able to get people together to put these shows together. We're able to get together and swap all these ideas. But how many people are even educated enough to even be willing to step outside that box and risk their own life and safety in order to benefit all of humanity? I don't see too many people jumping on the bandwagon, you know, to go out there and say, look, you know, the government's corrupt, we're going to overturn the government and all that kind of stuff. We don't need to overturn them. What we need to do is build another side-by-side society with common sense and common law.
Puts them out of business.
Yeah, thing. Exactly. There you go, the competition. We will compete them out of business while they're over there sitting at the table trying to rule over us, and we're ruling over ourselves.
Though, they believe competition is a sin, and they whack their competition.
Well, you know
they
what?
They have to. They buy you out, or they whack it.
Here's the trick, though. We outnumber them. Go watch that video, The Doc. You know, that's a really good, inspiring video, because you have all these dots following this little 1% of dots in the world, and all the global elite, for all their money and all their armies and all their police departments, don't have the numbers and the masses and the combined knowledge that all of us have together. And so why even talk to them? Why even go through the process of arguing with them or any of that stuff there? We start building a society outside their society, and then when the time is right, we just drop their society like a bad habit and go on, because we have all the resources in place. We have all the infrastructure in place. We don't even need them. It's kind of like if you don't need the mailman, he can knock at your door all he wants. You don't have to open the door. You know what I mean?
I haven't sent a letter in a long time, you know? I mean, think about it.
Yeah, email.
I'm with people every day. But, like, if I had to sit down and take a piece of paper, write a letter, put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it and stuff, I mean, I guess I would do that if I didn't have the internet, but there's no need to do that anymore. Unless you got to send something to a courthouse that says, I do not consent to your jurisdiction.
Well, guys, as fascinating as this is, we're down to the last 2 minutes of the show.
Hey, thank you. It's a pleasure to listen to you every weekend morning.
I'm inspired. If you guys want to join me on the Hope Show in a few minutes, I'd love to have you on there. We could talk about peace, hope, and love if you're interested in that kind of thing. If not, then I'll go it alone. But
we're doing a live show at 1 p.m. today.
Well, yeah. You could stay on. You could stay on until your show or whatever, or just join in, whatever. either way,
I'll pop in for a little bit with Rick in a little bit. I just want to grab the stuff of what we're going to use. It's just an informal round table and some music and stuff.
Cool. Hey, I'd like to join you on your show sometime. In the meantime, we're down to the last minute. Anybody got any last words? I'll throw on a quick tune here afterwards, and then we'll roll over to Hope Show. Go ahead.
Yep, great amount of love to you, bro.
Last words. Love you, Shaz.
Love you guys too, man. I'll tell you what, we're on the verge of some really amazing discoveries. I honestly feel in my heart that this is going to be one of the most amazing years in the history of time. I think we're going to see
this network. Yeah. And these networks coming together.
Exactly. And the more networks
what I think
we
of, from one came many.
Yeah.
And the many are one.
And I would like to see that keep going. So if you guys know folks out there who are trying to benefit the world in a better way, then that's what it's all about. And that's what we do here at Shaziz Radio and Awake Radio and Shake and Wake Radio and No Borders. I can't remember which ones I said, but there's so
1800, many. 1800 live.
Yeah.
No, 1800 online, sorry.
And we got a lot of good people out here trying to do something decent to benefit the world. So with that said, peace and love to everybody. Stay tuned for the Hope Show. I'll be hosting it because my grandchildren are over and grandma's kind of busy. So with that said, peace and love, everybody. Take care.
You might fall. Will someone try open up your eyes? You must be blind if you